everyone, and welcome to For Azeroth, the podcast all about World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Manny. Manny, how has Azeroth been treating you this week?
Well, with the changes today, the game's become a little more alt-friendly and not a moment too soon because of all the things happening in North America. I'm going to have a lot more time for WoW.
Right? That's basically been my experience. I have come back. I raided my first night on Sunday as a priest healer, and I was terrible into... Although, I will say, so I had never healed a raid on the priest before. I barely healed at all because I was going around doing all the content on Shadow so I could actually, like, kill things. But it was pretty rough. The first couple of fights, but by the end, I had a purple parse. I was like 75th or 78th percentile or something. But also on Heroic Carapace, there was like less than 10 parses with my item level. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, it's a very small pool.
Yes.
But,
but at least I'm a big fish in it, damn it.
And I guess that's sort of the story. I don't know. I think healing parses are more stable, but DPS parses now have just gone like out the window. It's not about like what you can do. It's about like what kind of corruption you're packing determines where you parse for DPS. And
that's I'll go into that more. Frustrating, I feel like. And I don't know if you want to talk about it right now off the top of the show or if you want to put it in with some of the news, but I know that just that addition of randomness where there's something that's like just completely out of your control. I noticed even just when I was playing as Shadow, because I have rank 2 infinite stars.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed just like being out in the world. It's like sometimes I'm sitting there and, you know, it's taking me, you know, 10 to 15 seconds to kill something when I'm doing the assault. But then every once in a while, there will just be these like meteors that fall from the sky and I'm one-shotting stuff. And I'm like, this doesn't really work well. Like, it doesn't reflect my ability to do damage at all. Like, it has nothing to do with the buttons that I pushed. It has nothing to do with anything other than like every once in a while I get this ridiculous like 100k damage spike, and I'm like, my damage on normally is like 20k. Like, I am not a good Shadow Priest. I don't have good gear, but every once in a while it's just like kaboom, and that, like, it feels cool, I guess, or I can see how some people would enjoy that when you're just like out in the world. But when you're consistently trying to push content, I feel like for it would just be so frustrating in like high mythic plus keys, in raids, you know, all that kind of content, because like you need to get something done. You're trying to contribute to a team, and if your DPS is fluctuating from like, you know, 30-40k all the way up to like 80k based on just straight up did my corruption proc, like I feel like that's just not great.
Yeah, that's basically it. My biggest issues with corruption, the first one we talked about, which they're going to be addressing, but my biggest issue with corruption in this new reality that we're waking up to on Tuesday morning is that the damage is not anything you control, and it is such a huge part of your damage that RNG has now affected my level of play. It's mm-hmm. just more, and
we more so than just this. Like gear drops. Like, it's not the RNG of like, did I get that weapon? It's like the RNG of like, as you're moving through your rotation, and it's not even like necessarily buffs sometimes. Like I mentioned, the infinite star one is just like you just get a big, you don't even have to change your rotation, you just get a big damage spike.
Yeah, and so it's passive, and we were talking about this yesterday before we were recording, but it's just the strongest damage, sorry, the strongest ones are passive damage that are procs.
Mm-hmm.
It's things that are going to be like, you could have been doing your rotation completely wrong. And because that, even when you're doing your rotation wrong, it happened the proc, you do a huge amount of damage. Or the next pull, you could get your rotation 100% right. Like, oh my goodness, you are a Simbot going. But because the procs weren't there, your damage isn't there.
Yeah.
And that is completely taking the agency out of the player for like their like moment to moment play. So I dislike that the strongest corruptions are passive damage procs. I'm hoping that any system that is influenced by corruption learns that, hey, you know what, maybe we've got to tie this into the actual characters so that, hey, we're going to cut the cooldown of something. We're going to increase the next X ability, right, that's specific to the class, so that people will actually have to capitalize, even if it is a proc, mm-hmm. and that it rewards skill play.
The ones that are like proccing and giving you a burst of like crit, say, like that's something that I could be like, oh man, okay, so now I'm critting, I need to do XYZ because that bonus is there for me now. But when it's just like, okay, a thing is happening, it's completely out of my control, doesn't influence my rotation at all, there's no way for me to either capitalize or screw it up, really. Like, it's just, it's something that's completely out of my control. I feel like that should be nerfed, I guess. Like, that it should be lesser than like a 30 second buff to a secondary stat that may or may not change my rotation. Like, I don't know. But
yeah,
I feel like, I mean, BFA in general really seems like the just testing bed of terrible mechanics. Like, I mean, we had at the initial iteration of Azurite gear, then we had like essences come in, and then on top of that, now we have this new corruption system, and it seems like the game has changed and the requirements have changed so much, like patch to patch, that it's really hard to find like the through line between it all. And I don't remember this happening before, but it feels like it's just like, okay, 8.0 had its gear system, and then 8.1 had a new system, and 8.2 had a new system, 8.3 has a new system. And it's just like, none of them have really hit the nail on the head in this expansion. And I don't know if that worries me for Shadowlands, or if that makes me happy for Shadowlands, because I'm hoping that they will have, you know, they have tried all of these things. Each of them has had its own, you know, successes and failings, but hopefully they've kind of learned from that, and then whatever we get in Shadowlands will be a great system because they experimented so much in BFA. That's my hope anyways.
Yeah, and I think that hope isn't like a pipe dream. I really feel that a lot of the issues with essences and with corruption are because they are, okay, the mean way to say it is because they're lazy. The easy way to say it is that, or the more fair way to say it is that, because they were quickly implemented, they couldn't hook so deeply into a system that wasn't designed for them there.
Mm.
Right? We got passive damage because they didn't know how to put in things that interacted with Azurite traits. Azurite traits weren't really meant to be there, right? We got essences, and a lot of them are, again, passive procs, but at least they're not direct damage procs. They are stat procs. But as I was commenting again yesterday, we ended up just doing a bunch of rated PvP. We ended up doing a bunch of
battlegrounds
raiding, and we ended up doing the raid for Mythic Battle of the Zoralore, and people were like, oh, we're not going in with a full team, what are we gonna do? And I'm like, no, the power creep in this expansion has been insane. When Battle of the Zoralore was created, they had no clue how strong essences were going to be. When Battle of the Zoralore was scaled and set up, they had no clue how much power we were going to get from corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went in and did like the first four bosses without really looking at what the actual stuff did. I think we had like one wipe on the third boss.
Yeah, I think the only thing that we, well, yeah, we didn't know the mythic mechanics. And I think that by having a smaller team, because I think we had like 12 or 13, maybe. And so I think just some of the mythic mechanics just couldn't be handled without a full group. And, you know, that's fine. Like, but it wasn't necessarily like we weren't killing things too slowly. Damage was not a problem at all.
Yeah.
It was just like too many people were being affected by things because we didn't have a full group. And it's, you know, it doesn't flex. It doesn't change. So.
Yeah. And that's just like shows how these systems hastily implemented to try and address issues haven't been fully thought out. That's why people have been screaming for another big change that we're going to be talking about, because the acquisition wasn't really tuned for further into the patch. That's why, that's right, gear right now is almost a non-issue, because it's not something you need to be thinking about anymore with all these other things that you've got on your mind.
And yeah, I think go ahead.
And I think that Shadowland, they're really going to learn from this and have a system that is forward thinking and can actually be built. And that's why they're saying, yeah, we're going to have this build out horizontally, not vertically. It's not going to be a big grind to come back to at the end of the game. At the end of the expansion, rather than if you had been there from the beginning.
Right. And so I think we should talk a little bit about, and we'll jump into the news now and talk a little bit about account wide essences, because that is something that's launching today. Realm Reset should have just happened, so I'm assuming it's live, you know, now-ish, give or take. And so basically what's happening is that as of today, they've added a new currency into basically all the 8.3 content. It's called Echoes of Nyalotha. At least it's not called Visions of Nyalotha, because I swear to God, if they had called another thing Visions, I would have just cried. So they're called Echoes of Nyalotha, which I also find kind of funny, because they're helping you earn things from 8.2. So shouldn't it be like Echoes of Mechagon or Echoes of oh my gosh, what's the name of the zone? Nashatar. Wow. We have been all over the place and my brain can't keep up. We're getting Echoes of Nyalotha, and you earn it as just kind of part of what we're doing anyways if you're playing through 8.3 content. Although, in order to use the currency to buy the essences, you have to have earned rank 3 on another character. Kind of the caveat. There is no, way to buy like a rank 1 or a rank 2. You have to have rank 3 on your other characters, and then it becomes available to buy for your alts.
Yeah. And I think that this is going to somewhat prove that account-wide essences was never the big fix that we wanted. That being said, there's a number of things that you said that is not reflected in this because of the extra complications they've added. You had said, man, I wish that I could purchase rank 2s if that's all I had, so at least I would have that to get my character started.
There's a lot of stuff that's kind of like locked behind a super big grind in an area of the world I'm not participating in anymore. And I think I'm thinking specifically about the Eternal Palace raid. I'm not raiding that anymore. I'm not, you know, grinding up my reps with Mechagon or with which I'm glad that I got Mechagon done on. I think I'm exalted on my Paladin, because, oh my God, I don't want to do that rep grind again. Actually, I might not be exalted anywhere, come to think of it, because on my Paladin or on my Hunter with Mechagon, because I think you only had to get to Revered to get flying, right? Or did you have to be exalted?
You know, I don't remember anymore. It's so long ago.
Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head either. All I know is that I got far enough to get my flying. I did that on my paladin, and then I think my paladin is still in Mechagon because I haven't touched her since. Because with the Eternal Palace, I swapped over to my hunter for raiding and basically like just got far enough for flying and then haven't touched the paladin. So,
well, revered would be enough for the essences, though,
because for rank even three?
For rank three, or remember that they reduced the requirements for all those essences.
Okay, yeah, so then I should have my rank three available for Mechagon then, because that's something I was a little bit worried about. But yeah, I think like it was all tied to this content that I wasn't really doing anymore. I mean, I was barely doing the 8.3 content, so you know the amount of time I had to actually go back and try to grind Mechagon and Nachitar, I just wasn't, which was really and truly keeping me out of raiding, because after I stopped raiding, I decided after a few weeks off that I was going to give my priest a try, because I did really enjoy the shadow priest. I don't even necessarily know if I want to call it like a rotation, because it's more of like a resource management thing. And it's a little bit more dynamic than other classes that I've played. So I really enjoy their play style. And so I wanted to get back to my priest and kind of play around. But then I was like, the last thing that I want to do in 8.3 is take my priest and redo 8.2. So I just kind of didn't until I was just kind of poking around and doing stuff. And then, to be completely honest, my new job, I do work. It's like about a half an hour, 45 minute commute for me. So I'm out of the house for quite a long time. But because of the coronavirus, which I mean, I don't think we're going to be able to do a podcast without talking about it for the next few weeks anyways. I know you guys are probably sick of it, but because of that, my office has actually been closed. I'm off work this week completely, and then I'll be working from home for 2 weeks after this. So it's kind of given me a whole bunch of unexpected time, and I know I'm extremely fortunate that I can just sit at home and play video games and not really think too much about it. But I have all this time on my hands, and I was like, well, I should play WoW and my priest and kind of catch up. And then especially after they made this announcement about the essences, I was like, all right, this is great, because, you know, come Tuesday, I'll be able to have all my rank three essences on my priest, and I won't have to worry about going back into 8.2. And it's like half worked out that way. I should be able to get like maybe one or two today, because they do cost 500 of the new currency. And you get like what's the biggest one is the main Nazoth assault, right?
So the biggest one you can get is if you do a five like a full clear of the horrific visions. That one will get you the largest amount in a single go.
And but that's like all the masks, right?
No.
No,
this
okay.
is like zero masks, just clear every zone.
Oh, okay.
Right? And that one
seems a little more doable. I thought it was like you had to do like complete that whole entire content run.
No. Like you get a set amount from just beating Thrall, and then each other one will give you a small amount till you get 150. And if you do a full clear, you don't have to have any masks for that. That one's fairly easy for most people who are being gearing through even like normal Nyalotha at this point.
I just laugh because I barely was able to get. Actually, I failed once, and then the other couple times I did it, I just went to Illyria and killed her. So that was, I guess, the last time Stormwind was actually up. And then I was like, I can't do this on my own. But I've been stocking up keys, and the reason I've been stocking up keys is because once this announcement came out, I was like, okay, I can do horrific visions. I'll see if I can find people that can help me out a little bit, and, you know, let's go.
A big part of that is because of your cloak level, not because of your gearing. So I believe, and to tell our listeners, I believe your cloak is rank three.
It's either three or four. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's low anyways.
Yeah.
I so still only need one page to upgrade.
Yeah. So your sanity drain is much faster than somebody who's currently running with like the rank 14 from last week or whatever. My Demon Hunter is something that I've pulled out of the dust and been going through, and that's now at rank 5. But that was, again, just like you, where I was like, okay, beeline it straight to the main boss, kill the boss, get my upgrade without pushing through. As you get like the further sanity reduction, when you're at like, I think 14 has a 70% sanity reduction, like you can run through that entire thing, not use a single orb, not do any of the potions or stuff that like give you like the boost, and still get through all of it. So it is quite easy once you're like geared, and people will be getting a lot more gear if they're playing through actively. The biggest thing about this is that they've set up the goal of 500 essences and all the different things you can do, so that you can relatively easily get one essence in a week with very little effort. So,
well, I mean, like when you say very little effort, basically what you're saying is by doing the activities that you would be doing anyways. So if you're going through and you're doing the N'Zoth assault and you're doing two of the other assaults in the other area, whichever's active, on top of that, doing your horrific visions at least once a week, and once a week doing a full clear, not everyone can do that. And then you do also get emissary cache echoes, right? So that's something I feel like is probably the most accessible out of all of this, is because emissary caches are from old content, right? There are no 8.3 emissary caches, so all of the mobs and stuff like that are like, I just melt everything when I go to do things. So I mean, I think you soloed a world boss in Vuldoon, right?
On my alt, not my main. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that content is, I think, accessible to absolutely everybody, regardless of, you know, how far into 8.3 you are. So for each emissary cache, you get 25 echoes?
Oh, no, it's 50 echoes.
Oh, it is 50 per. Okay, I wasn't sure if it was 50 per or if it was 25 each, because you have in your fancy calculation in the notes, you put 2 times emissary caches, 50 echoes. So I thought they were 25, but still. Anyways, you could realistically, if all you did was emissary caches, you could get most of the way. If you did your emissary every day, then you're getting 350 just from emissary caches, right? So I feel like that's the most accessible, but at the same time, like, that's still, you have to log in every day. Like, there's a lot of kind of play time in this grind, which isn't necessarily bad, but my question is like, why are they so worried about preserving the effort people went to in 8.2? Because that was one of the reasons that they essentially introduced yet another currency into this patch, was because they didn't want to cheapen the efforts of people who had, you know, gotten rank 3 essences on mains and alts and everything else. And I don't really understand that mentality, because I mean, like, I raided through Eternal Palace and grinded to get my gear, and then that's gone because of all of the Black Empire tokens that drop with like higher item levels than what I was getting out of the raid last expansion or last patch. Like, this happens every single patch, is the stuff that you got the previous patch is no longer relevant and usually is covered up by a catch-up mechanic. So I'm wondering why the mentality around essences is different.
So from my own take, I don't know. I really think that it should be something that becomes easier as you go through, so that returning players, so that new players can not spend. Again, it's the example they always give, where it's like, Jimmy shows up, Jimmy wants to raid, Jimmy now has to go back and do all the old content just to catch up, so that Jimmy is not a burden on the entire raid.
Right, and which Jimmy still has to go back. If it's his main character and he only has one character and he never played 8.2, he still has to go back. I love this like random made up Jimmy person, but Jimmy still has to go back and play 8.2 because he won't have the essences. Like, you have to have done the grind at least once in order to buy the essences from Mother. So it's not quite the same even as the system over in Legion, where you could grab a currency and buy a legendary, because there was no like requirement. It was just like, you have X amount of currency, you can buy Y legendary. And there was no prerequisite for any of those purchases, which kind of like, it makes sense because those were random, right? So there is no way to really say like, oh, I guess they could have said you have to have had it drop on an alt, but that would be crazy or like, well, on another character on your account. But anyways, they didn't do that. They just said, here's all the things that you can do. Here's a currency that you earn. Here's a vendor where you can buy whatever legendary you want. And that was a great system.
And there's another difference in the system too. The account-wide essences here, the currency is locked, soulbound to that character. So
yeah, that's really dumb.
Yeah. Whatever character you want to buy has to be earning the currency. You can't be saying, okay, I'm going to play my main, get enough currency, and go buy my alt all the essences that it needs, right? You have to go and play that alt and deal with it having, like, let's say, rank 0 essences because you jumped right in and you're equipped with like all the Black Empire gear. So you are like weak as everything. The content that they're getting you to do is not scaled for what that character can do, and you have to suffer through until you can get your essence.
Well, that's the biggest thing that I noticed playing my priest, is that because I had not raided in Eternal Palace, I didn't have heroic raid gear when I was going through just the intro quest for 8.3. And I was so weak. It was ridiculous. It took me almost twice as long to go through on the priest as it did. And I mean, I think I talked about it last show where I didn't realize talking to different characters about skipping stuff. Like, I missed all of that. I played everything through, went down into all the dungeons, but it took me just a ridiculous amount of time because like it was just taking me so long to kill things. When I would finally kill them, I would be nearly dead. So then I was sitting there like healing myself or eating food or something. It was just a long and tedious process. And I think that, you know, if they want to put this in so that they're at least rewarding people who did the grind at some point, whether it was in 8.2 when 8.2 was current, or if it was in 8.3 as part of like going back and trying to unlock the content on alts, you know, whatever, or mains. Whatever the case is, if they want to recognize that people did that grind, like, okay, fine. But then, you know, make the currency something I can get and then pass off to my characters so that I can help make them a little bit more powerful so that they can actually like complete this new 8.3 content. Because you're right, 8.3 is not scaled for returning characters at all. It's barely scaled for people who don't have big inflated eye levels like coming out of the last patch. Like, if you weren't running heroic rating or better and, you know, mythic plus 10 or higher in 8.2, you're going to feel the squishiness and the, like, I don't know, the your DPS character is going to be like tickling the enemy being like, please die now. Okay. it's a slog. So I don't know. Yeah. I think the currency, if nothing else in this whole entire system was going to be straight up account wide, I think the currency should at least be tradable, like should be account bound.
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is that this is not account wide essences. This is not really that not. You've unlocked it, right? This is just an alternate acquisition path for people who don't want to go through the entire Mechagon cycle again and want to instead burn themselves out on the current stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that if this had been introduced along with essences, right when essences were introduced, it would have been a whole lot more palatable. right? People would have been like, okay, great. I just need to go through like this entire story thing once, and then I can work towards this currency doing whatever I want. Because even if this had come out at the beginning of 8.3, it would have been nicer, because it's like, it's stuff you need to do anyways. Mm-hmm. You need to do your horrific visions to upgrade your cloak.
Your cloak,
and yeah, you're going to be doing it more than once a week anyways. So you're going to be getting a good amount of the currency from that. Emissary caches are nice. And if you are trying to like get some gear to upgrade, those scale up to 445. That's great. And the calculations that I put in a note and the people can look at it, you can just do this by playing maybe twice in a week, because emissaries stack over 3 days. So you can like on day three, go through and clear out three emissaries, not have to log in every day.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? The lesser assaults are partway through the week, so you don't show up each day. You can log in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, do the first one, and then you can log in the last half of the week and do the second one. All of these stuff, you can play, like the major sources that I put out, you can play them when you want, when you have the playtime, and not fall behind on these. And I think that is a very good part of this acquisition. So I do want to say that that is good. I just think that the timing for this is kind of too little too late. And that's why when they put in this entire quasi grind, I think after chewing on it for a night, I feel that it's not a huge grind, but it's so late that it's
terrible. It's like, it's better than nothing for sure. It's not quite exactly what people were asking for, but I think most classes have, you've only got four slots for essences, right? And most people are going to be targeting one or two a week. And so this whole system is probably going to get you caught up in like 2 weeks, maybe three or four. But like, you don't necessarily need to get every single rank three essence, because you're not going to need them for whatever activity it is that you're aiming for, whether that's, you know, PvP, or if it's like raiding or Mythic Plus, whatever. You've got, if you're doing everything, yeah, this is going to be a really long grind, but you're also doing everything, so you're playing the game all the time. But if you have like one thing that you're doing, like you're raiding on one character in one spec, then you should be able to, in a couple of weeks, get that character caught up. Did they actually say, are there any of the Echoes of Nyalotha? Do they come from like raiding and Mythic Plus and stuff?
Yes. So all the examples I gave were small ones. If you are now going into like end game pillars and stuff, then you can get a lot of them from your weekly caches. So like your PvP one, you can get up to 300 in a single go. So like Tuesday, you open up your cache and you've got like your high ranking. That's 300 right there.
Yeah. Right? So that, but the PvP one is tied, well, I guess probably much the same as your rating or your Mythic Plus as well. It's tied to essentially your rating, or the difficulty on your content is going to dictate how many echoes you get. I was going to say how many essences you get. Okay. I'm going to have to write a letter to Blizzard and be like, okay, here are all the problems with everything that you named in this BFA expansion.
Okay. And if you're able to do like Mythic Keystones, which again, you're doing this without the benefit of the essences that you want, but maybe you've got a good team, or maybe you can work around it and you're looking for a specific essence that you don't have on that character, you're going to be able to get like some essences from the end of dungeon chests based on like the level you're doing. It's like three per keystone level, right? And then your weekly one is 20 per keystone run. So Joss, you and I completed a 12 last week, so that's gonna be 240 when we open up our chests, right? And that's, again, like basically halfway there. Plus, if we do a key partway through the week, and let's say we do a 10, well, there's another 30. Like, there's all that sort of stuff there. So if you really start pushing yourself and you're able to get into this sort of repeatable content, you could grind out a second or third essence in a week and really push yourself if you're trying to get all the essences. But again, this is really just to get the character able to compete, or maybe even like replace a main.
Yeah, very much so. So yeah, that's everything that we're getting with quote unquote account wide essences. It's not really account wide essences, but you know, it'll get you there. So if you guys have any questions, comments, thoughts, you can always hit us up on Twitter or send us an email or Discord, all that kind of fun stuff. But we want to know how you guys are feeling about the changes to essences. There's been another change this week. This is essentially a way to get more corrupted gear. They have also announced that Horrific Visions will now drop gear that always has a corruption effect. Now, it doesn't obviously guarantee which corruption effect, but you will always get a piece of corrupted gear out of a Horrific Vision starting today, which I think is a really good thing. I think it fixes one of the big problems that we talked about on the last episode, where corruption didn't drop often enough to make it feel like you could actually make real choices.
Yeah, I really, like we said before, it doesn't matter what they're changing, and there were more hot fixes today regarding corruption. It doesn't matter what they're changing. If nobody can get their hands on it reliably, then it just feels bad for the people who did have it and have no alternative. Mm-hmm. And it feels like it just feels like, oh, I don't care because I'm never going to get that corruption. But now you have the chance to do that. People can actually make sets that are like, okay, I'm going to have this be like my verse amp set if they're able to get enough of that gear. I don't like the way that they introduced it, because they did it in the most time sync way possible. Because again, to do the Horrific Visions, you need to be doing all the content to get the coalescing visions to buy the key to go through. So like, it just seems like the most time syncy content when people are like, I don't want to time sync it right now. But at least it's an option for people.
Well, yeah, I think just having a guaranteed source of corrupted gear is a good thing. Even if it is at the very end of your weekly grind, at least it's somewhere. And if corruption is what you're looking for, you now have a guaranteed way to get it. It's not just do everything and maybe, which is basically what's happened with my priest, right? I've got like the original piece that I got from just doing the intro quest. And then I had one Infinite Stars piece drop, which I feel like I have to use, even though my cloak is really low. So it's a level 2 Infinite Stars, which gives me 50 corruption right off the top. So like, I'm running around like crazy trying to do stuff because I feel like I have to use my Infinite Stars. So maybe if I knew that I was going to get corrupted gear out of Horrific Visions, then I could have, you know, cleansed the Infinite Stars off of the gear and then, you know, kind of ramped things up in terms of like trying to keep my corruption level going with my cloak the way I think the system was originally intended.
Yeah, definitely. I have heard so many people who are like, well, I don't want to cleanse it because I will never get it again.
Yeah.
And I think this is exactly what I had said last week. So I'm glad that there is a source for it, and because it is coming from the Horrific Visions, that means you can push yourself and do however many mass that you can you feel you can stand and get a high item level piece with a guaranteed corruption. And then if you just keep running through it, it'll keep scaling down the gear as you acquire more. So you can get multiple pieces today if you run multiple Horrific Visions.
Yeah, which I have been saving up my keys because I knew that the essence currency was coming. So I think I have 7 keys saved up now from last week, from everything I did last week. So yeah, I'm looking forward to doing some and getting some corruptions that are going to allow me to actually make decisions within the system, which have really not been there so far. So I think it's a good change. I'm glad that they guaranteed corruption out of any source. I think it was a good idea. We've also got all the wings of LFR that have now been released. This happened last week on March 10th, and I actually ran through all of LFR in the last week and trying to hoping for corrupted pieces. So I didn't get any corrupted pieces, but I did run all of LFR and it wasn't that bad. Although apparently and there were a lot of people being super trolly because there was an issue with N'Zoth when you got into the final wing of LFR. If you went in without your legendary cloak equipped, then your character would get mind controlled automatically. So half of your LFR team would just turn against you, and it made for not a great experience in LFR. So there is now a hotfix that has gone out that has required you to have earned your legendary cloak, your Harshabaroto, however you say it, Shroud of Resolve. It's stupid. I feel like someone smashed their face on the keyboard to name this thing. Some players are still intentionally trolling, but at least now you have to have that requirement met in order to do the last two bosses in LFR. It only took, like, I think 6 or 7 attempts for my LFR team on Saturday. Yeah, I think it was Saturday. Maybe it was Sunday. Anyways, it was pretty late in the week. And it only took us like 6 or 7 attempts, which is pretty good for a final boss, with especially with someone as complicated as N'Zoth and requiring a little bit more coordination than just, you know, stick with the team and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what mechanics they removed in there to make it LFR friendly, but it just feels like it would be complicated regardless.
It was super complicated. You did have to do the whole, like, send half the team down to keep killing Psychus and then keep half the team out. It had the push-pull mechanic with the purple lines that stun you and pull you either towards the edge of the room or towards the boss. It had that. It had the Deathwing flames. It had the kind of, I guess there's a Sylvanas arrows too, the next time you go down against Psychus. Like, it had most of the mechanics. Like, it felt similar. Now, obviously, it's, you know, tuned for LFR, but there wasn't anything that I was like, oh man, this doesn't feel like the heroic version of the fight, which we also did on Sunday. So.
Okay. Yeah, LFR is your domain. I try not to step into there.
How did this and when did this happen?
You decided to go in there, and I'm like, you absolute mad lad, because
corrupted gear made me go in there.
But you didn't get any corrupted gear.
I know, so I didn't get any corrupted gear. I got like literally 2 drops out of the entire raid. I was so sad. It wasn't too bad. I thought it was pretty fun. Like I said, I got a pretty good team that was fairly coordinated. We had somebody who was like, okay, this is the thing that you have to do. So to do the whole N'Zoth thing, we basically just said, you know, like, okay, groups 1, 2, 3 are going down. If you're in group 1, 2, 3, like, we're not going to try to balance this in any way. Just, you know, go down, do Psychus, come back. So, but
It does show the type of player that goes into LFR is really going in blind. Obviously, people who have listened to this show, I've said that, like, the cloak interaction and this entire Easter egg multiple times. But Blizzard themselves had already looked at the player base and had realized that there were a notable number of people playing 8.3 that had not done the introductory quest, and they had put in the launcher, right, an entire thing about, like, oh, how to get your cloak.
Yeah,
because they saw this coming. And even with that, like, additional thing in the launcher, there's enough people who were just clicking through who don't pay attention to their launcher, because I barely paid attention.
Oh yeah,
to the launcher
I never
myself.
Pay attention to the launcher, like, not at all.
Right. And then queuing through, like, now it's only trolls, but those trolls know what they're doing because they get the cloak. They intentionally equip a lesser cloak and then troll. But there were groups going in where most of the team were suddenly just like, bloop, mind controlled. And they'd have to kick them and replace them and do this multiple times, maybe 6 times before they even got an actual pull in.
Yeah.
So you got lucky, Joss.
Well, and I, so when I went in, it was post hotfix.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so if you guys are interested, LFR has been hotfixed. It's ready to go. Jump in there and kill N'Zoth. It will also, the other reason I did it was because I had the quest from Magni to kill N'Zoth. So there was a big chunk of AP tied to killing him. So that was my plan. And my neck, honestly, I've got to say, like, in terms of catch-up mechanics on AP and necks, that was the other thing that I realized, because my priest, I had barely played. Like, I think I leveled her through islands in the original, like, 8.0 part of the expansion, and then I hadn't touched her, and she's already at 78, almost 79, without me really noticing or actively doing too much. I pretty much just finished my emissary caches, and that's about all that I did. Usually, if I had to do an emissary cache, then I would choose like the Azurite ones. But the great thing about the Azurite ones, most of them, you can find three or four of them that are like, go and kill one enemy. And then so you just go and blow that thing up, because again, it's not tuned for, you know, characters that are geared with better stuff from later on in the expansion. So yeah, I was just blowing stuff up, and it's super easy, super fast. But yeah, I'm like almost 79, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
The catch up for AP is great.
No, that's a lot. I haven't been paying attention to my Heart of Azeroth anymore, but I know on my alt that I'm not four essences, so I think I'm like 74, or maybe yeah. I hit 75 and just haven't paid attention.
You get there pretty quick, actually. 75, I feel like, is not as hard, or doesn't feel as hard or feel like as much of a grind as, was it 65 in 8.2? Whatever unlocked that next essence slot. I felt like it took me way longer in 8.2 when I was more actively playing. I feel like I've just kind of passively on the priest gotten it up way past the final essence slot unlock.
Okay, yeah, no, it's good that they're, again, it's something that you don't, another grind that they have alleviated, and I'm glad that that's not another thing that people have to worry about.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about rank 15 on the cloak.
Yeah, so as of this reset, now people are going to hit rank 15, which is the cap of ranks. Going beyond that, starting next week, you can still increase your cloak ability by getting these malefic cores. And the malefic cores are going to be applied to the cloak and increase the corruption resistance by 3 each time you do it.
So your cloak rank is still going to be 15 because your item level is tied to your cloak rank, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so once you get to 15, that's the highest your cloak level is ever going to, or your cloak item level is ever going to get. So you can't just have this stat stick that's constantly increasing week over week.
Yeah.
Okay.
And because you're only dealing with the corruption resistance being increased, the sanity reduction, which is another big part, is also going to be capped.
Right.
Right. So the only thing that you're going to be able to increase.
So sanity resistance is the thing that makes horrific visions easier.
Yeah.
Okay. And then corruption resistance, that doesn't have a cap, right?
It does have a cap.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah. So.
So like you can get to a point before the end of 8.3 where doing horrific visions is no longer going to be of a benefit to you.
Other than, I guess, the guaranteed corrupted loot that they're throwing in there now.
Right. Yeah. 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 Fair enough. But like you will get to a point where your cloak will be finished.
Yeah. So once you hit like 125 corruption resistance, that is going to be the cap. But okay, at three a week, it's going to take you a while.
Yeah.
The other thing that you need to know is that you can get these malefic cores from just defeating N'Zoth the Corruptor on like normal difficulty or higher. So you could even skip doing horrific visions at all once you're at this stage. But if you're behind, let's say you are away a week and you want to like get a catch up, you can do either the horrific vision with a five chesting, no mask involved, or you can defeat N'Zoth And if you're behind, you'll get it from both of those sources. If you're at the cap for the week, you only get it from the first one you complete of those two.
Right. Man, so many complicated systems. I mean,
basically,
like,
kill us off on normal or do a five chest run on the Horrific Visions. If you're at the cap, you can only do one a week. If you're behind, you can catch up by doing both of those activities and getting one from both of them.
Fair enough. But again, this doesn't actually come into play until you've hit rank 15. So you don't have to worry about, or you won't get Malefic Cores until your cloak is capped.
That's correct.
Okay.
And even though people are capping this week, it won't be introduced this week. It's not going to happen until the week of the 24th for North America.
Right.
That's when these Malefic Cores will be introduced.
That makes sense. Well, let's move on to BlizzCon 2020 and the speculation. It's kind of it's like two stories in one, basically. So obviously, we talked a little bit about it earlier, but COVID-19, the coronavirus has kind of obviously spread around the world and is impacting all aspects of life, including Blizzard. So Blizzard has announced Irvine and Austin offices are both going to be working from home now. Instead, they have closed the actual offices, and other offices are going to be following the direction of their local governments, which we have basically, I mean, Manny and I both live in Ontario. Our premier just announced today, this morning, that we are essentially following suit with a lot of what's been happening down in the States as well. You know, no gatherings larger than 50 people, closing down, you know, public libraries, places of worship, restaurants and bars, only allowing takeout instead of, you know, again, gathering a lot of people in close proximity. So I imagine many of the other Blizzard offices around the world are also going to be following the work from home policies, but we know for sure Irvine and Austin have closed. So there are a lot of, I guess there's a lot of speculation because we've seen a lot of events be canceled because of the pandemic. A lot of people are wondering if BlizzCon 2020 is going to be one of those events. So normally by now we've heard some stuff. We've at least seen things like the Anaheim Convention Center, where BlizzCon actually happens. Usually it's booked, right? And right now it's booked for events that are not BlizzCon all the way through November. So we don't know if this means that maybe we're going to get an October BlizzCon, or if maybe 2020 is going to be a BlizzCon free year. Now, we've got Shadowlands coming. We know that for sure. We are likely going to have another Hearthstone expansion because that's just kind of the way things go. But outside of that, I mean, we don't even know if we're going to have like a Diablo 4 launch, right? Like, no one's actually expecting Diablo 4 in 2020. We're kind of expecting that in 2021, right?
Yeah, I believe that 2020 is like, even 2021 seems a little bit
optimistic.
Optimistic. I feel like this Blizzard soon, we could see that 2022 and nobody would really bat an eye.
Yeah. So I think, and same with Overwatch 2. I mean, Overwatch 2 seemed even potentially further out maybe than Diablo. Like, I don't know, the way that they were talking about Overwatch 2 definitely made it feel like this is kind of already leaked. We're super stoked to tell you that we're working on it, but we have no solid dates or plans to give you. So I feel like, again, in terms of 2020, I don't think there's anything. If they were going to cancel, which I think the 2018 BlizzCon was one that they probably could have gone ahead and canceled. If they were going to cancel, I think 2020 would be one that would be okay to do, you know, online only, if they just had big WoW announcements. I don't know. I'm kind of okay with this year being canceled. And I say that as someone who started a new job on contract and doesn't have any vacation and probably won't be able to go to BlizzCon anyways. But I'd be totally okay if they cancel BlizzCon. Like, yes, then I don't have to, you know, get that whole fear of missing out thing going on.
Yeah, but I missed out last year, so I'm against you. BlizzCon this year.
I know, I feel so bad.
Yeah, but it definitely would need to be addressed, especially with all the cancellations that are happening now. That means that it's going to be harder when this lets up to find a convention space, with all the ones that are probably going to just shift back and be fighting for the limited weekends available.
That's
later
true.
In the year.
Yeah, because there's so many things have been moved and canceled and everything else. Or yeah, maybe not necessarily full on canceled, but at least delayed. And so we're taking potentially an entire convention season and smooshing that down into a couple of months once the pandemic is over. Knock on wood, hopefully, cross your fingers, the pandemic will be over. There's a real potential for either not having a BlizzCon this year or maybe having a BlizzCon in a different place, because we also do know, obviously, that Blizzard has its own venue for now. It's been very esports centric, but I wonder if there's maybe a contingency plan where instead of using the Anaheim Convention Center, they do BlizzCon at their LA facility. I'm not 100% sure what exactly it's called, but maybe use the esport venue and just like spread it out over more days. So, you know, like have a day for Warcraft, have a day for Hearthstone, have a day for Overwatch, etc. Because that venue just is smaller. The Anaheim Convention Center is huge. But the Blizzard esports arena only has like one stage, right? I think, as far as I know. I haven't actually ever been there, so
I haven't been there, so I can't say with any level of confidence.
But it's not the Anaheim Convention Center. I think we can say that confidently. So, yeah, and I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I do definitely think it'll be interesting. I do hope, like I'm sure all our listeners hope, that the impacts of COVID will be minimalized and we can get back to a life after it.
Yeah, very, very much so. So that brings us to our community resources and add-on section, Manny. You have something special this week because of the change to Corrupted Gear being a guaranteed drop. So tell me a little bit about Corruption tooltips.
Yeah, well, like you said, with Corruption now being guaranteed in parts, we're going to be dealing with a lot more Corruption. And you having to be like, well, I got this Corruption and it's 50 Corruption. Is that rank 2 or anything? This solves all of that. This just says, okay, this Corruption is rank 2 IF. This Corruption is rank 1 of Echoing Void. And you don't need to fumble over it. You can easily tell what you have, because when you're looking at these Corruptions on Blood Mallet, on Wowhead, or even just talking with your friends, that's the short form you're going to use. It's a very light add-on. It's called Corruption Tooltips, as we said, and it'll just help you be able to get through and figure out what you're dealing with that much faster, especially if you're dealing with multiple sets and you're like, okay, I want to build a set that has twisting appendages, and where is that? Is that my twisting appendage 1 or 2? This makes it simple. And so I'm really recommending this. This actually was a recommendation from somebody in our Discord who, unfortunately, I missed who originally suggested it. And you're seeing a lot of people push towards this, because I've now seen this being shown on Wowhead and I have seen it being shown on Icy Veins. So
people are getting like wise to Corruption tooltips.
Feels like something Blizzard should have put in the UI if it's becoming that widely presented.
Yeah, and honestly, this just confused me so much, because I wouldn't even have known that there were different levels to the different corruptions if I wasn't so in tune to like the news of the game and the data mining and, you know, the Wowhead articles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because, I mean, like, when you actually look at the tooltip in Warcraft, it doesn't give you any indication other than like if you realize if you have multiple pieces of corrupted gear that like the, you know, 25 corruption is a rank 1 and then a 50 is a rank 2 and a 75 would be rank 3. That's fine. But it doesn't tell you that like you can get rank 1 infinite stars, rank 2 infinite stars, rank 3 infinite stars. It's just like, to me, if I didn't know all the stuff that I know from all of the testing that happened on PTR and all of those articles, I would look at that and think, oh, okay, so infinite stars is a rank 2 corruption, or is like the medium corruption, because I wouldn't even know ranks or levels or what their nomenclature is, because again, it's not in the game anywhere. And then so I'd be like, okay, so when I get infinite stars, this is what it is. It gives me 50 corruption. There's no indication that maybe, you know, for a little bit less damage, I could go for a little bit less corruption or anything like that. So I really don't know why they didn't just put this in the game from the get-go. It seems like a really big oversight, because they don't really explain this new system all that well.
Yeah, and I think that's like something that's been plaguing a lot of BFA, because they have been, I don't want to say shoehorning, but like bringing in these systems quite quickfire.
Yeah, they've been changing things very quickly.
Yeah, so part of the changes that they were making when they're introducing corruption gear was setting the corruption levels to be fixed levels. It used to be that they used to be in ranges, if you remember back when we were first testing. And that might have been the reason that they were avoiding specific labels. Mm. But when they streamlined it, this would have made it a lot more straightforward. And I think that if they weren't in such a rush to get it out, this would have been an iteration that they would have done. Again, it just feels like we've had a very compressed period of time where they've been implementing on things. So a lot of the shine that would normally be there is just left out. Yeah, I do want to say thank you to Xander, who was the person who had said this in the Discord. I just did a quick look back.
Well, thanks a lot, Xander. And yeah, I think I'm glad that the community, as always, has stepped up and filled the gap. So you people that make add-ons, you're the real heroes. That's pretty much going to do it for our show this week. Wanted to remind everybody that Faz is always going to be free, but if you do enjoy the content we produce, do consider supporting us over at patreon.com/Faz. Manny, where can folks find you in between shows?
So, as always, I can be found over on Twitter at TrueVillainManny, true without the E, and you can join us in the Discord, which we were just talking about. That's bit.ly/FazDiscord. And Joss, where can people find you around the interwebs?
You can follow me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at Joss Plays. That's J-O-C-E Plays. I'm probably going to be streaming a little bit more this week, because like I said, I have an impromptu week off. So looking to stream a little bit more later on in the week. You can also check out tgistudios.com/Faz if you're looking for our show notes. But that's pretty much going to do it for us this week. Thank you so much for listening.
And until next time, guys, may all your crits. Oops. May all your hits be crits. It's been a while since I've said that.